Nothing is more logical than believing in God. If that is true, what happens to a person's thinking when he rejects God? He who rejects the greatest logic will become illogical. Psalm 77 puts it correctly, I believe. And while you're turning to that passage, I'd like to tell you a little story. A group of geography students were studying the seven wonders of the world. At the end of that section, the students were asked to list what they considered to be the seven wonders of the world. There was some disagreement, but the following finally got the most votes. Egypt's Great Pyramid, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. While gathering the votes, the teacher noted that one student, a quiet girl, had not turned in her paper yet. So the teacher asked the girl if she was having trouble with her list. And the quiet girl said, "Yes, a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there were so many." And so the teacher said, "Well, tell us what you have and maybe we can help." The girl hesitated and then finally she read from her paper. "I think the seven wonders of the world are to taste and to touch, to see and to hear." And she hesitated again and then continued, "And then to run and to laugh and to love." You know, it's interesting that we're often very impressed with what we do, with what man is capable of doing. But this little girl, whether she realized it or not, was very impressed with the wonders of God, with what God has done. Now let's read Psalm 77, verses 11 through 14. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your works of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples." As we think about the wonders of man, let us not forget the wonders of God, and that God is the one who has enabled us to do such wonders as the rest of that class had listed. Back in the 1980s, when I was preaching in Klamath Falls, as some of you probably know, there's an Oregon Air National Guard training base over there. And at that time, they would train pilots as well as those that sit in the back seat for the F-4 fighting jet. And I just loved to see those things flying over town. And I remember standing out on the front porch area one time, and here came a couple of F-4s flying over. But in the foreground between myself and these jets was a bird. And I remember being very impressed with what these jets can do. And I still am. But then I thought to myself, look at these birds and what they can do, how they fly on their own. And I thought to myself, of the two, the F-4 fighting jet or the bird, which is greater? And I had to tell myself that the bird is greater. But then I thought more about who made the jet. Man made the jet. And man is capable of making a phenomenal jet. The bird can't do it. So I thought, well, of the two, man or the bird, who is greater? Man is. And why is man great? Because God is the one who has created him. So yes, man can do wonders, but let us let those wonders that man does say, oh, but we ourselves are a wonder because of the one who made us, who also made the birds. Now, if Psalm 77 is true, and I believe that it is, there have to be serious consequences for not seeing the truth or the truths of this passage, especially in how we think. Because if you look again back at Psalm 77, you'll notice that's a lot of what the psalmist is emphasizing. He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. That's an activity of the mind. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. So if I'm not remembering God's works, what's going to happen to my mind? So again I ask, what happens to thinking when a person rejects God? Romans chapter 1 is explicit in what happens to the mind of an unbeliever. And I think after I read this passage to you from Romans 1, it'll help give you insight into some of the world's wacky thinking. Romans 1, starting at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Therefore, here's what they do. They profess to be wise, but Paul says they became fools. And here's another thing that they did. They exchanged or changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. If I cannot see God and His magnificence clearly, if I cannot understand from what has been made that there is a God, then my thinking is going to become futile. And my heart will now be foolish. And it will no longer be enlightened, but it will be dark. And while I may think that I'm wise, I may think that the way I think is wise, really it's foolish, according to the Holy Spirit. And believers will just shake their heads, being frustrated at the world's vain ideas. Isaiah chapter 5 is an excellent commentary on how backwards someone's thinking can become when he rejects God and His Word. Isaiah will show us here that, you know, when God says something's good, man will say it's evil. And when God says something's evil, man will say it's good. Isaiah 5, starting at verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put sweet or bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Luke 16 also shows that God and man reverse things. Man says, this is valuable. And God says, this is something I hate. God says, here's something that is valuable. And man says, I hate that. Luke 16, verse 15. Because God and man value things differently, they also abhor different things. Jesus said, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Keeping all these passages in mind now, I would like to show you the futile thinking of man when he rejects the ultimate logic. Watch how illogical our society has become. For one thing, teaching creation will become illegal, but teaching evolution will be legal. It is illegal for school teachers to inform students that they have been created by God, but it is okay to tell them, number one, that something came from nothing, otherwise known as the Big Bang. That order came from chaos. That life came from non-life. And that one species can turn itself into another species. Now that's logical, but teaching creation is illogical. That's why one, the latter is illegal and the other one's legal. See how mixed up our thinking becomes? Thankfully, although not in Oregon yet that I know of, but in various states, there are attempts to bring creation science into the science classroom and to bring the intelligent design way of thinking into the classroom, especially that latter one, is becoming very popular. And this is one of the reasons why our creation seminar in less than a month, I believe, is so critical. Garbage will not be able to be defined. They will fine a man for dumping garbage in a public place, but will pay the same man for dumping mental garbage into the public, around the public. Excuse me. One kind of garbage will be condemned and another guaranteed. I mean, we force a man. Well, let's not just pick on the men. I'm using man like the mankind, but I'll say we'll force a woman too. We'll force anybody whose property is filthy and not taken care of. But our law protects a man and guarantees him the right to publish obscene material. One evil will be stopped, but another will go on. We must isolate, and maybe even in some cases quarantine a man who carries a disease. But we will protect the rights of freedom of circulation of those who propagate immoral material and who corrupt healthy minds and morals with all forms of unhealthy and immoral material. It just doesn't make sense. It wasn't like that 100 years ago. Children's bodily health will increase, or at least will pass laws to try and get it to increase, but their spiritual health will decrease. Society does everything to protect our children from all manner of disease. Yet society contemplates making our children aware of homosexuality. They'll even do that in the schools. Now, I want to tell you something that happened in Klamath County a few years ago. And I don't think it's restricted to there. I'm only aware of it because I was living there at the time. It's probably a statewide thing, although some of it's been changed. And wait till you hear how it's been changed. They're not going to use them for water balloons. Fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, we need to make sure that they're going to use these things what they're made for. And at the same time, in Keno, Oregon, a small town just west of Oregon, Klamath Falls, up until the 1990s, I couldn't believe this when I heard it. I was so glad but sad as to what happened. They were passing out Bibles. The schools were passing out Bibles to all the students until one parent objected. So they stopped it. Don't give them Bibles, but give them something else. That's what happens when you take the Bibles out of the classroom. Christian literature will be forbidden, but all other forms of literature will be protected. Will lawfully prohibit the distribution of Christian literature in numerous places, but we cannot control the publication and distribution of anything else. Healthy food will be demanded, but drugs, and I mean by that illegal drugs, will be legalized. I mean, we have here in Grants Pass, every Sunday afternoon at the corner of G and 6th Street, a woman who's out there dancing around, and others have joined in with her, say, let's get drugs legalized. But don't you dare feed our kids anything unhealthy. Criminals will be treated softly. When I first moved to Oregon back in the 80s, there was a woman who committed a murder. And they lowered her sentence because she was drunk when she did it. Whereas if she had not been drunk, she would have had a stiffer sentence. Now figure that one out. You know, if you want to kill somebody, I shouldn't go on with that one there. You know, it's crazy how we operate. And yet the righteous will be treated hard. Do you remember Jim Baker? A PTO thing back in the 80s? That guy got 45 years for embezzling money from people. He would have been better off if he had killed them and then gotten their money. Amazing. Animals will be valued over babies. We count sacred the life of the snail darter, the baby seal, the whooping crane, the whale, and other animals. And we should. Genesis 2:15 says that when God made Adam, He put him in the garden that he might tend and keep it. We have dominance. God has given us dominion over the world, not to abuse it, but to take care of it. Yet, if you destroy the unhatched egg of a bald eagle, according to a former neighbor of mine back in Klamath Falls who was a game warden, you will get a $5,000 fine and 1 year in jail. But if you want to kill unborn humans, hey man, we'll pay you $5,000 a shot. What has happened to our thinking? Saying prayers will be illegal. But atheists and communists can become professors. Prayer is legally eliminated from our schools. I'm saying it out loud, of course. You can say it privately if you so desire, or even do it on your own out loud, I suppose. It's just the teachers can't direct such things. But atheists and communists who promote ideologies that totally destroy our freedoms are made professors at our universities, and we pay their salaries. Now, what do you think about all these things? I encourage you, please, to continue listening to the Lord. Continue listening to the Lord through the Holy Spirit-inspired Scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 17, the Bible, I think, again, shows us what the problem is. And it just really takes all these other passages that I've been giving to you and brings them together. What happens when we say, God, we don't want anything to do with you. We don't want you in our lives. As we're bringing up our young ones, we don't want you involved. Get out of here. You helped establish our nation. That's fine. Thank you. Goodbye. We're off on our own now. What happens when we think that way? In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, you take away the only proper guide for the heart, and that desperate wickedness just will go unchained. It'll go without boundaries, and it'll do many of the things that I've been showing you this morning. And a whole lot more, I'm sure, is on the way, though I don't want to think what those things are. So verse 10 then says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The only one who can know the heart. That was the question that Jeremiah came up with. He says, you know, look at the heart of man. It's so deceitful. It is so desperately wicked. Who can possibly know the heart? Now, because we've taken God out of schools, out of society, and out of so many other things, secular society has seen a lot of the problems that that brings on. Or maybe they wouldn't make that connection, but they see problems that are in society that were not here many years ago, at least not to the scale that they are now. And so they're looking for ways to deal with them. They're coming up with all kinds of philosophies and laws to try and deal with just the out-of-control nature of humanity. But they're not succeeding at it. And why is that? Because there's only one who can answer the question of verse 9. And it's the one who speaks in verse 10. He's the only one who knows the heart. He's the only one who knows how to train the heart. He's the only one who knows how to forgive the heart. And that is, of course, where I want to lead all of you, all of us today. We need to open our eyes to see where unbelief can lead. And if we believe in God, to make sure we continue to believe in God with every fiber of our being. And if you're not yet at belief, I want to do what I can, and every member of this congregation wants to do what he or she can, to try and get you to believe. Throw away your old thinking of the world and adopt the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ as is revealed through the Holy Scriptures. It'll lead you into obedience, and it'll lead you into a life of peace and surrender. Let us be of service to you. If you need to become a Christian, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.